This show contains discussions of violence, murder, abuse, suicide, some use of language, and other things that some people may find offensive. We don't recommend Crime Cafe for children under the age of 14. Listener discretion is advised. A tsunami is a series of waves in a body of water caused by the displacement of a large volume of water, generally in an ocean or a large lake. Tsunamis are caused by volcanic eruptions, meteorite impacts, and in this case, earthquakes. Join us for a special episode of Crime Cafe as we discuss the world's largest mega tsunami in Lituya Bay, Alaska, and the aftermath. Welcome or welcome back to this episode of Crime Cafe Podcast. I'm Amber.
I'm Coral.
And this week we're going to be talking about Lituya Bay.
Yes, the world's largest ever recorded tsunami. I'm so excited. I forgot how I found this, but this is amazing. We've got survivors. We've got a tsunami. We've got waves. We've got ships. We've got wrecks. We've got campers. We have everything. We've got this. And Alaska is such a creepy, scary place to me. And they, well, actually, tsunamis are a big fear of mine. So I think I found this while looking for tsunami footage, because I like to look at it for no reason. And we're going to be going through, like, in detail what happened this night. And you guys, I hope, are going to really like this. So we're just going to go ahead and get into it.
And this is our second week doing something a little different.
Right.
So we hope you like this.
If you like this kind of thing, just let us know.
But next week, we probably will be back to some true crime.
Yes, some murder.
Yes.
Okay.
So as we said in the intro, tsunamis are essentially just huge waves caused by a disruption. It's usually from earthquakes, but it can happen from literally anything large enough to cause water to move significantly.
Yes.
That is terrifying.
Upsetting. They're very, very hard to predict. So when discussing tsunamis, I can't help but remember the Sumatra Indonesia tsunami. It was a gigantically devastating tsunami, claiming more than 230,000 lives on December 26th, 2004. And I will say, this is the biggest tsunami, not the deadliest. This right here is the deadliest tsunami ever. Okay. It was and still is the deadliest tsunami. And I was in fourth grade and living in Atlanta during this time. We had just came back from Christmas break. One of our classmates was visiting Indonesia on his Christmas break to visit family.
You went back to school on December 26th?
No. Like, we went back after the first, but it had happened, and we were nervous.
Oh, okay, okay.
Like, it was on the news.
Because you knew a classmate.
Yeah. Okay. He went to Indonesia to visit family, and we were scared that he wasn't going to show up. And the disaster was so huge and powerful, and back then we didn't really have the technology we do now. And so even the teacher looked scared and worried. Like, we didn't have smartphones. Like, she had a flip phone, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So if there was any news, it would have to be from the TV.
Okay. Flip phones literally can't do anything.
No, they can't.
Luke's dad still has a flip phone, and it literally can't get a group text message.
I know. Some of them can't even do pictures.
Oh, his can do pictures, at least.
Can it send pictures?
I don't know if he can send pictures, but he can receive pictures.
Oh, okay. Well, the disaster, the bell rang and he still wasn't there, and we just kept, like, staring and staring and staring, and finally he came through the door and we all cheered and, like, jumped up and down, and we all, like, surrounded him in hugs. We're like, thank God he didn't freaking die, because, like, a quarter of a million people died. And I looked over at my teacher and she was like, thank God.
Literally.
Because it's so many people that died, and it's way in a different country with different protocols and stuff. So how would the school even have found out?
And, like, how do you start explaining that to students?
Yeah.
Young children.
I know. So
that's like something that I'm terrified of, is like for Cash to get old enough to remember and ask for somebody, but not to understand death.
Yeah, I know. They say you don't fully understand the concept of death till you're 14.
Yeah, and that's, you know.
And this killed 230,000 people. Latuya Bay was bigger. So it was taller.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And I'm so glad that there weren't that many people there.
Yeah. So, okay. So like we said, this isn't the deadliest tsunami, but it is the world's largest ever recorded. And the size of a tsunami doesn't determine the duration or deadliest. Still, this story is so incredible that we just have to share it with you.
Our story starts on July 9th, 1958, in Lituya Bay, Alaska. Lituya Bay sits about 140 miles from Juneau, Alaska, which is the state capital. The bay is a 7-mile-long body of water that is pretty remote, is not often traveled, but it is traveled from time to time with fishermen. Mm-hmm. You literally can't... Okay, I determine how remote things are if you can get an Airbnb or not. You can't get an Airbnb anywhere near this place. Mm-hmm. So this is only people that know it exists.
Okay.
It's filled with an extension of the Pacific Ocean known as the Gulf of Alaska. Lituya is known to be as deep as 720 feet. That's why I can't stand Alaska.
Yeah, that's insane.
Peace and love, but what? Almost 1,000 feet? You know that, okay, some of the fish are so deep in there, and their fishing line has to go so long that when the fish come up out of the water, they compress and blow up because they get big and swell because of the pressure difference.
Oh my god.
Yes, because it's so deep.
And that's crazy.
I know. I hate it. It's scary. Because this is Alaska, the waters are still almost freezing, even in July. And the weather itself was around 50 degrees Fahrenheit during this.
Not too bad. You actually can't really visit Lituya Bay unless you're camping, hiking, or fishing. It's not really a place that you just go for swimming and fun times. This is like a place that Alaskans or experienced outdoorsmen visit. Between 10 and 10:15 p.m., an earthquake erupted and lasted for approximately 1 minute. Just to give you a sense for how long a minute is, we have 60 seconds of what an earthquake that long might sound like. If you're sensitive to noise or don't care to listen, go ahead and skip ahead 60 seconds, but we suggest listening just so you can truly grasp how intense this was.
This earthquake was the strongest Alaska had seen since the late 1800s. The rumble was so violent it could be felt in Seattle, Washington, which is almost 1,000 miles away, and it actually knocked the needle off of the seismograph at the University of Washington. And the seismograph is what measures earthquakes. Yeah.
It was still that strong 1,000 miles away?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The quake caused 82 million tons of rock to slide off the mountainside into the deep, freezing cold Alaskan water. 82 million tons. That's literally 164 billion pounds. And according to the infographic show YouTube video, that's equivalent to an asteroid impact. And if that doesn't give you enough perspective, these rocks equaled the weight of around, 240 Empire State Buildings. A lot. A lot. That was a lot.
What in the world?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. So naturally, this one caused waves. A lot of waves.
Literally.
So before we get into the tsunami itself, we're going to take a break and talk a little bit about six very important people. There were three boats on Lituya Bay this night. On one boat, a man named Howard Ulrich and his 8-year-old son, and his 8-year-old Sonny Ulrich, were sleeping after spending the day salmon fishing.
Aww. Isn't that cute?
That is.
I love them.
They awoke suddenly to the violent shaking and rumbling. Their bunks started shaking and they could hardly stand up. Harold quickly rushed outside to the boat deck to witness the absolute deafening noise. What he saw was large, house-sized rocks falling into the bay. Scared, they kept looking on. They looked at the surrounding mountains and they could physically see them vibrating. They saw the snow on the tops of the mountains slowly vibrating and rising hundreds of feet into the air above them. Then, suddenly, it became calm and silent for about 2.5 minutes.
It is actually creepy to think about the snow rising slowly 100 feet in the air. That is how, oh God, it's freakish.
And to be with your 8-year-old son alone, literally, is terrifying.
What they didn't expect next was a 1,720-foot tall mega tsunami barreling towards them at just over 120 miles per hour, engulfing all vegetation as it approached. Howard looked at his small son and told him to put on his life preserver and start praying to God for help. Howard communicated via radio, quote, "Mayday, mayday, this is Idri in Lituya Bay. All hell has busted loose in here and I think we've had it. Goodbye," end quote. Horrified yet determined, Howard miraculously decided to fight for his and his son's life. Howard dropped their anchor as low as it would go, hoping it would keep them in place. He turned the boat to directly face the waves in hopes that it would just pass through them instead of knocking them over. This decision would be the best decision he could have ever made for him and his son. He's just like, we're going to face it head on.
How is that the best decision?
Yeah, you're like, how is that the best?
Okay. But by the time the wave reached Howard and Sonny, it had decreased significantly in size. It was still huge, between 50 and 75 feet tall. The wave swept them up instantly, snapping their anchor like it was nothing. Magically, their boat went directly into the wave and then surfaced on top of it. They literally rode the crest of the wave in a small salmon boat. They stayed there until they naturally started drifting down the back side of the wave. They were not out of danger just yet. There were huge trees and other debris ebbing and flowing throughout the choppy waves. Somehow, they were able to survive the massive tsunami.
As we said, though, there's six people in this story, not just them. So there's more we have to talk about. Two other boats were on Lituya Bay. Bill and Vi Swanson, a married couple, were sleeping on their boat named the Badger when the earthquake erupted. Bill and Vi, in their underwear, got up to see what was happening. He described what he saw as like a big load of rocks coming out of a dump truck. They were quickly picked up by the wave before they could even prepare. And they were lifted approximately 80 feet. Vi described the sound by saying it felt like she was in a tin can and someone was shaking it. As the wave broke, Bill and Vi landed close to shore. Their boat, obviously very damaged, began to fall apart and sink quickly. They got their life raft and began paddling away from danger, still, unfortunately, in their underwear.
Oh.
Bill was hit by debris that resulted in a few broken ribs. Thankfully, they were rescued a couple of hours later by another fishing boat. So they survived too.
Vi. Okay. Bill and Vi, safe and thankful to be alive, began worrying about their two friends they saw in the bay earlier that evening. A couple, Orville and Mickey Wagner, were on their boat named Sunmore earlier that day. They actually waved and said hello to them before the quake. Unfortunately, Mickey and Orville were not lucky. As they saw the monster wave approaching, they turned their vessel towards the entrance of the bay, and right as they neared the entrance, the wave hit them from the side, engulfing them instantly, killing both Mickey and Orville. Mickey and Orville were never found, and neither was their boat.
So sad. We have articles from that time talking about the disappearance of Mickey and Orville. It's so wrong. Like, so the actual death toll for the tsunami was 5 people. Mickey and Orville, just as Amber had, you know, said, and also 3 people that just so happened to be standing by on nearby Cantac Island. Gene Walton and Mr. and Mrs. Robert Tibbles. They were from Yucatan, Alaska, and were believed to be on the island berry picking. How wholesome can you be? Just berry picking in Alaska. Oh God, a 1,700-foot tsunami? Only a few paper plates were found.
Oh my God.
After the picnic. Yeah. They were never found. It's so effed up. I know. So, let's discuss the aftermath, like what the wave did. Thousands of trees were taken from the mountains. Even the soil was destroyed. The mountain itself was scarred from the rocks falling off, which we also have a picture of on our Instagram. 100 miles from Lituya in Yucatan, Alaska, certain infrastructure like bridges and oil lines were destroyed, resulting in more than $10 million dollars worth of damage. This is in the 50s. $10 million. Oh my goodness. 100 miles away. Also, according to propertyid.com, tsunamis can last from 10 minutes to 2 hours. So there's no telling how devastating this was for the land.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So according to a few Google searches, apparently fish and other sea creatures aren't really affected by tsunamis. Like, they don't really notice, to be quite honest. In fact, tsunamis don't really ever hurt fish unless they are brought to land by the wave or waves and left to die. According to DoSomething.org, 80% of tsunamis happen in the Pacific Ocean, and the states with the greatest risk for a tsunami are Hawaii, Alaska, Washington, Oregon, and California. Sonny, Howard, Vi, and Bill were so incredibly lucky to have gotten out safely.
Everyone later found out that a group of 20 campers were supposed to camp on the shore of Lituya Bay, but actually decided last minute, they're like, nah, I don't want to. Thank God.
Yes.
Bill and Vi made full recoveries, which is great, and Bill actually expressed frustration that no one believed him when he was describing how big the rocks are.
What?
Vi said she would literally never step foot in a boat again. She's like, sorry, you got the wrong one.
Yeah.
Bill actually did go back to the bay. And on May 26, 1962, just 3 years after the tsunami, Bill returned to Lituya for some fishing. And just as he entered the bay, he died at 50 years old from a massive heart attack.
That's what he gets.
For going back to the bay. I know.
Lucky to escape once.
Yeah. The bay's like, you'll get out this time, but if you ever come back here, I'll get you. I know.
That's so sad, though.
I know.
So Howard and Sonny kept fishing, though Howard retired from being a commercial fisherman just a year later.
I don't blame him.
Howard was a father to Robert, Kurt, Sonny, Bruce, and Adrie. He also had a ton of grandchildren and was so loved by his whole family. He passed away at his family home at the age of 87 on January 29th, 2014. He was buried at Sitka National Cemetery. Unfortunately, his son, Sonny, passed away this year on January 4th, 2021. He passed unexpectedly at the age of 70. He had two daughters. Sonny loved camping, whittling, reading, cooking, and collecting rocks. Sonny was also... Sonny was also Tlingit, which is an indigenous Alaskan tribe.
Although Lituya Bay has had four recorded tsunamis, there hasn't been one since 1958.
And that's the retelling of the 1958 Lituya Bay, Alaska earthquake, the world's largest recorded tsunami.
Yay!
Then... That's Ooh. So...
Intense.
Yeah. Natural disasters are scary.
I know. And these stories, it's like, how often do you hear about them? Never.
I know.
Have you ever heard this? No.
No. And my cousin Heather, she lives about 4 hours from here, and she actually posted, like, a month or two ago, maybe, that she was, like, in the middle of the night, tornado sirens started going off,
mm-hmm.
and she has two children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's terrifying.
What are you doing?
I
think in that situation, survival just takes over.
I guess you like getting a room with no windows or a basement or something.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I think you just do what Howard did, and you just say, here's your life jacket, pray to God, you know,
yeah,
make peace with everything and everyone, and let's go.
Yeah,
you gotta try your best. You have no option.
Yeah.
So if there's sirens going off, or, and by the way, if you guys don't know, like, how to watch out for a tsunami, if the tide draws back all at once and doesn't come back quickly, run. And also, you can never outrun a tsunami. So just get to higher ground. That's your best chance to survive. Or go through it.
Yeah.
But we don't recommend that.
And also, this is even just a good reminder to, like, have a fire plan with your family.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How you'll get out of your house if it catches fire. Like, if you have tornado sirens nearby, what to do if you hear those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a child that's old enough, make sure they know, like,
put safety stuff in place.
Yeah.
And they always stressed when we were younger, I don't know if they do now in schools, I'm sure they still do, to make a plan.
Yeah. There was always, every year, like, a fire safety talk. Yes.
Thankfully, that's, like, the only real threat we have to deal with around here is fire. But, you know, literally 3/4 of the country is surrounded by coast.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful with tsunamis.
And we have some bad thunderstorms around here, you know, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It can cause...
Actually, the other day, did you hear about what happened in Murphy?
No.
Which is a town nearby us.
No.
Friday, a tree just randomly fell down at the hot spot in Murphy, and it blocked traffic for 10 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the power was out and everything. Could you imagine just going on the road and a freaking tree falls?
No. My mom, when she was pregnant with me, she was high risk. So she had to go to Dalton for appointments and, like, deliver at that hospital. And one time they were going and she was, like, pretty far along. And the car in front of them just barely missed being crushed by a tree. It was, like, storming really bad. And it's over a mountain, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's so terrifying.
I know. Thankfully, the power line, like, you know, was able to...
Yeah.
But speaking of... By the way, if you haven't... If you're not able to tell, we're on the bullshit and banter part.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, I just want to, like, let you guys know that we are obviously very aware of the apartment building that collapsed in Miami, Florida, the other day. And currently, this is, what's today? The 27th of June.
Yes.
Four more bodies were discovered.
Oh, I hadn't heard that yet.
I know. So now... 9 are confirmed dead, and there are 156 people still under the rubble of this building. And if you don't know what happened, basically, like, in the middle of the night, like, 1 a.m. or something, a huge apartment building just, I mean.
This is terrifying.
I know. Like, people are just sleeping, and boom, it's over.
Okay. Not, okay. There is a place pretty close to where we live that is like a driveway that has collapsed multiple times. Remember where my mom had her little thrift store in the blue building?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the driveway keeps collapsing?
Yes.
Okay, basically we live in a mining town.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a mining town anymore. The mines have been shut down for years and years.
Right.
But it was, like, kind of established. And they say that a lot of this just hollow under.
It is.
Yeah.
And really the whole area, including in the Murphy area, is so rich with elements and different structures and water underneath and everything.
Yeah.
That we are so prone to sinkholes. It's insane.
Yeah, that's scary.
I know, like, you remember a couple years ago Wendy's was closed in Murphy?
Oh.
Yes, and Pizza Hut.
Wow.
There was, like, a 20, 30 foot long sinkhole.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
That's terrifying.
And also, how can we not even talk about the McKaysville flood?
Oh, I know.
What year was that?
93,
yeah. Oh, my God. No, that was a blizzard. We had we say we're not prone to natural disasters, but listen to us.
We had a flood sometime.
Yeah, we had a flood, like, sometime in the 90s, I don't know, but everything went under.
My grandparents live on the river, and, they live, like, across the road from the river. And they took all their things, like furniture, pictures, and stuff, up on a bank behind their house. But luckily, the water didn't enter their house, right. I believe. It just, like, got onto their porch.
Oh, my God. Which, I've been to their house several times, and their house is on a hill.
Yeah.
Like, you need a hiking kit to get up. To their front door. That's why everybody takes the back door.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, it's very high up, which I think, thankfully, like, saved their house.
Yeah.
But all the businesses and everything went under. If you visited McKaysville or Copper Hill, you've probably heard, like, if you're not from here, you probably heard it before.
Yeah. And then we do get a good snow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every few years, it seems like.
And you guys know that because literally, like, 3 episodes in a row back January or February, Amber and I, like, it was snowing. Also, I can't even believe we forgot to mention this, but the reason the copper company in Copper Hill is closed down is because a mine shaft closed in.
Yeah.
So the land around here is very unpredictable. Everyone is prone to foundation issues. We live in the mountains, so rock slides are normal. We live near a lot of gorges. They get closed.
Yeah, and we had a few years, well, it's been several years ago now, but a rock slide that was really bad.
Yes.
And a lot of teachers, not a lot, but some teachers live in Cleveland, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And they had to go like a long way to get here.
Yeah. And like last year, there was a bad rock slide and it killed two people. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah, there was. In the Nantahala Gorge, I think it was early last year, there was a huge rock slide, like 2 weeks in a row, and it didn't kill anybody, but you couldn't go through the gorge for like a long time.
Okay, all kinds of stuff happens in the gorge. It's like closed down a lot.
I know. I squeeze my butt cheeks every time I drive through there because I'm like, is something going to fall on me?
I was always so afraid. I did home health and I had a client that had some appointments out. Yes. And I had to go through the gorge. And it scared her, just, you know, being in a car in the gorge. It can be scary.
You know how, like, when the building's dark and you run through it because you're afraid something's going to get you?
Yeah.
I feel like that through the gorge.
Yes. Okay. I used to work at a nursing home, and they put in this 7 to 11 shift, so 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. If you work night shift, so you just go
4 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it was just 4 hours. You came in to help with baths. You passed snacks. You passed supplies, like whatever was needed. You just helped wherever you were needed, basically. And I would, like, leave. And luckily, Lucas lived pretty close. And I could usually get him to meet me. I'd be like, be in the parking lot. And I would, like, go to the break room, and I would look out, and I was like, are you parked by my car? And he would, like, park by my car, and I would, like, run out there.
Something's gonna get you.
Yeah.
The boogeyman.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what I was thinking.
I know. I think everybody's like that, though.
I don't know.
But we're the same way, even through the Ocoee. Like, I just speed like a demon to get out of there.
Yeah, and, like, going in, I used to work 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., so night shift, I would wait on my partner to get there so we could walk in together.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I didn't want to clock in, like, before her and, like, be on the floor.
Mm-hmm. By myself. I know.
They actually started getting on to us for clocking in early, so.
Oh, my God.
They were like, you have to clock in at 6:45.
Okay, this is going to be my will and testament right here. If I am unable to live on my own, do not send me to any nursing home around here.
No.
Let me die.
I know.
It's not the CNA's fault. It's just the facilities themselves.
It's hard because staffing.
Yeah, one lady I took care of, I caregived for, she was telling me how her husband was at some, I can't remember what it was called, but he was at a nursing home, whatever, or in this area, and then, like, they called her so late after he had died. She got there, he was in rigor.
Okay, but, like, sometimes you call people and they're like, eh, let me think about it. I'll call you in the morning.
Stop.
And we would have bodies, like, for organ donation.
Yeah. Oh. What if they were a smoker?
I don't know. Can you donate?
I don't think so. Yeah. Not your lungs.
Oh, no. You probably donate certain things.
Your eyeballs.
Okay, I was watching the show Undercover Boss, and it was for 7-Eleven. And
I watched that one.
Yeah, and she needed a kidney,
mm-hmm.
and they started an organ donation thing.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
I know, that was one of my favorite episodes.
Are you an organ donor?
Yeah.
I'm an organ donor. I know some people say not to check an organ donor on your license because they won't try to save you. Somebody told me that one time.
Why? Oh, so you can give your organs.
Yeah.
God, that's so like, messed up.
I don't think that's correct. Sorry. Yeah. But that's all I think we have for today. And we should be back next week, mm-hmm. next Monday, with
something gross, I'm sure.
Some true crime.
Yeah.
But I hope you found this interesting. I think it's neat to talk about these things.
It is.
Our first episode was a hotel fire,
mm-hmm.
Which was very interesting also, I thought.
I know. And still, to this day, it's one of our most listened to.
And I feel like it's not talked about very much.
It's not, I don't think. And Russ asked me, if you're a crime podcast, then why is your first episode about a fire? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just so good.
I know.
Like, but a lot of podcasts cover stuff like that.
Yeah, and we're not just into crime. Like, I love to listen mm-hmm. to conspiracy theories, paranormal. Yes. We listen to it all.
I know. And the more you research and do different stuff, the more you can remember.
Yeah.
In future cases.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you just go into things with an open mind,
mm-hmm.
it's just fun to think about.
Yeah.
I would like to maybe discuss dreams one episode if anybody's interested.
Because, I could talk about that.
Yes. It's so interesting.
It is.
If you have any cool dream stories, send them to us.
Yeah, send them to us.
CrimeCafePod@yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm.
Follow us, Crime Cafe Pod on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook.
Yep.
Wherever.
Wherever you want, just Google us or search us and we're there. Crime Cafe Pod. Buy merch. It's in the link. No pressure, but you could support the show that way. Also, rate, review, and subscribe.
Yes.
Reviewing on Apple Podcasts helps us in so many ways. Mm-hmm. Don't know why, but it just does.
Yes.
And thank you guys for being so patient and kind.
Yes.
And understanding. Continuing to listen and follow.
Yes. Thank you to everybody that listens. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people that listen every week.
I know.
And we are so thankful.
We have like over 70 listeners.
Yeah. And we have a lot of people that listen and send us
suggestions. Messages. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and put it on their stories and everything.
Yes.
It's so appreciated. And it's yes. so... It's not like YouTube in the way that somebody can comment on every video.
Yeah.
It's so hard to get a reaction.
Yeah.
And the best way that Amber and I know that people are liking it is not only are we getting a few more listeners every time, but yes. we get a certain amount of listeners like within the first 2 days.
Yes.
And we know that people count on us and care about the episodes. And that's what keeps me going. And,
yes.
you know, I know it keeps you going too. And, we want to try to get episodes out as consistently as possible, but
it's hard. You know, a little over a 1-year-old. Corey has her animals. I have a dog.
Yeah.
She has a job.
Mm-hmm. I have a full-time job. I work overtime. I have a craft booth at a
yes, a store. Makes amazing earrings.
I make clay earrings. No big deal. And that's not, these things are not an excuse, but when it comes down to it, being a mom is hard. Having a full-time job is hard. And I know that you guys are like, it doesn't really matter because it's like, why would you start a crime podcast if you can't be consistent and do 1 or 2 episodes a week, every week, never fail?
Yeah.
They're perfect every time. Well, nobody said that to us, but
no.
If you were wondering...
Yeah.
It's harder than it seems.
Yeah.
It's mentally exhausting. It's physically exhausting.
We love doing this,
mm-hmm.
but we still have to put other things before this still.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
At this time.
Thank God that Amber and I are on the same page, and if one of us can't or doesn't feel like it doesn't happen, and that's just it.
Yeah, I was literally... felt fine, but couldn't speak for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That happens like every year.
We
will try to prepare for that better,
mm-hmm.
but I just get really bad allergies.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. I can take the Allegra, I can take mm-hmm. the Zyrtec, the Benadryl.
Right. And we just can't help that.
I know.
And so we had to take our first break. And yeah. then here recently, just things weren't adding up, right? Like I renovated my porch and stuff like that and had to paint it and everything. And it's like, yeah, I could have put that off, but it's my life.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it has to be the most important thing is what we want.
And my son is finally getting a third tooth.
Oh my God.
I'm so happy.
And he's excited. Trying to walk. Well, he needs to.
Oh, he's walking.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
He's so old.
Yes.
The fact that when we first started this podcast, he was a baby.
I know.
And now he's old.
Yes.
I don't get it.
He is walking everywhere. He is obsessed with animals. He wants to hug our dog. He wants to kiss our dog. He wants to pet the cat.
Loves outside.
Oh, loves it. Screams every time I bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
Screams when I don't let him go out and pet the cat. Screams when he can't see the dog.
Very loving.
Yes.
He loves to make eye contact. He loves to hold, like, touch. He loves cuddle. And he loves his daddy.
If he can make you laugh, he's going to keep doing whatever it is that's making you laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
He thinks it's hilarious for people to laugh.
I know. And it's things like that that sometimes it's just easier to enjoy that and go to bed than it is to research somebody getting their head cut off.
Yeah.
Just to be honest.
It gets hard. And I consume a lot of true crime outside of the podcast. Yes. So does Corey.
Mm-hmm.
We really like it. But sometimes it's too much. And I would just like to watch Bob's Burgers or...
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse, Barney, whatever.
I will say one more thing, just to be a little bit vulnerable. Recently when we posted our second part to the Matthew Warren Brown, we didn't get as many listens as we usually do.
Yeah.
And I think people kind of fell off a little bit and didn't make it as much of a priority to listen as soon as possible.
Yeah. And we did a two-part case and took like 2 weeks off in between.
I know. That was horrible.
But a lot of life happened in 2 weeks.
Yeah. My husband started working 54 hours a week. A friend of mine that I used to work with died of a heart attack. It's just been a lot. And not to make excuses, but this is just like where we are in life.
And it hasn't been raining, which means that Lucas works overtime.
Yep.
If it rains, he has a lot of time off,
mm-hmm.
but in the summer, if it doesn't rain, he might work from 7:30 to 7.
Literally. And sometimes so, extra at his boss's house and stuff.
Yeah. And so I'm doing bath time, dinner, mm-hmm. lunch, breakfast, bedtime, snacks.
And you help clean.
Yeah.
Like you go to Luke's, you know, grandmother's house to help clean. Mm-hmm. Then you've got groceries. And then Russ and I live literally like 35 miles from our house.
Yeah.
I mean, work. From our work.
35.
So an hour and a half is spent literally commuting.
Yeah. And then we try to make time for our son to see his grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
My brother has 2 young children that my son loves.
Right.
We try to see them. It's hard, but you have to make time for your family.
It is, and it's really...
And Corey just recently got to see her sister-in-law and nephew and mother-in-law that she doesn't get to see often.
Right.
And, you know...
We're coming out of a pandemic.
Yeah, would never pass up an opportunity to get to see them, you know, because...
And you had a cookout.
Yes.
See, things just go... And I, at the end of every recording session, I look at Amber and I'm like, remember when we used to just hang out? We literally spend most of our time either talking about our day, saying something random, or the podcast.
Yeah.
We never hang out or go out to eat anymore. It's very rare. It's constantly recording because when we record for like 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah. A few weeks ago, we went to an outlet mall for the day.
That's another thing.
So
when we took a break, an unexpected break, I was like, do you want to go shopping? We went shopping, and the podcast was never mentioned. No. Like, not really. And we didn't talk about recording, and it just didn't work out. We didn't record that weekend, and that's just how it worked out.
Yeah.
So if we ever take a break in the future, it's not because we don't want to. It's just because of life.
Yeah.
And thank you for understanding, those of you that do.
Yes. Yeah, we don't have anybody that complains.
No, no, no.
We're not saying that we do.
We don't have hardly anybody that says anything besides good. You know, yeah. I've never heard anything bad. But I know it is important if
my cousin always is
obsessed
messaging me and letting us know that we're doing good.
And your mom.
Yeah. I love getting those messages.
Me too. It's like people post, like, Crime Cafe is getting me through my day. And
I know. I can't. Every single time we upload, I message Corey and I'm like, people listen as soon as we upload? What?
Literally.
Like, who is waiting on me?
I know. And now we're in like 39 states.
Yes. So that's amazing.
I know, in like 25 countries. It's just overwhelming. We're really thankful, yes. Nervous, and very tired.
Yeah. But we love getting to do this. Yeah. We've literally been best friends for years, and
It's fun.
Getting to do this together is awesome. Yeah.
Finally have the opportunity, time, and health.
Yeah.
To do it, and inspiration. That's another thing. Well, yeah, it's, you have to have the inspiration and drive.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, like, it's literally like homework.
Yeah.
You just have to do it. It's hard.
They take a long time.
Mm-hmm. And it's horrible because this case took me literally 4 hours to put together, and it was probably 20 minutes.
Yeah. And it's a lot of stuff we like, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
We love that.
And once you get started on the research, it's hard to quit.
Yeah.
So that's good.
If you have any case suggestions or anything, just send that in, and you can hopefully hear us next Monday with a true crime case.
Yes. Bye.